Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I am Jordan Patswold, and this month we have a special opportunity to chat with Focus on the Family Canada's Carith Retreats. A couple of guests joining us, co-directors of Carith Creek in Alberta, Marshall and Mary Izinga. It's great to have you both today on All You Ever Wanted to Know. How are you?
We're great, Jordan. Thanks so much for the opportunity. It's a beautiful sunny day in Alberta, and we're happy to be with your audience this morning.
Yeah, well, we got some wonderful sunshine, a huge relief. We've been having nothing but cloud and rain and, well, even something else that starts with the letter S that I'm not going to say. Did you get any of that white precipitation, as it were, Marshall?
We saw a little bit of it, and we actually yesterday had some hail. So that covered the ground and made it white.
Yeah, wow. So some wild, crazy weather conditions lately. I know people don't want to be talking about winter this far away, but let's shorten it to talk a little bit more about October. Now, October is Clergy Appreciation Month. That is celebrated, well, all over the globe. And something such as the ministry behind Carith Retreats, this is something that would be pretty spectacular for people to consider, maybe for their own clergy, if we've got members of a congregation listening in. We're going to talk a bit about this Focus on the Family initiative. So let's dive right on in. For those that aren't familiar with Carith Retreats, let's provide some background of exactly how this all began and where the name Carith really got its origins from.
So in terms of it beginning, it began in the hearts of a couple, an alliance couple in Calgary, Alberta, who wanted to do something special for pastors. They were looking at pastors and recognizing that there was a need to provide some type of help or assistance. And so they built a lodge with the intent of bringing pastors in to minister to pastors. And as they were building it and wondering what the name should be, one of the people who was involved in the project at the very beginning stood there on the property, looked at the creek, and was hit by the story of Elijah from 1 Kings 17, where God sent him to the brook Carith, which became a place where God nurtured him, fed him, strengthened him, so that he could be prepared to step back into ministry. And if you read through after that, there's some pretty incredible things that happened in Elijah's life. And so we look at Carith Creek and Carith Pines in Manitoba as being a place of rest, a place where pastors, parachurch people, and missionaries come, and they're impacted by their week in a way that allows them to re-engage in their God-given ministry with greater purpose, greater dreams, and greater vision.
That's awesome. Now, if people are familiar with that story, of course, want to just have a quick note, perhaps they're even Googling it. We should note a spelling difference from what's written in the Bible to how Carith Retreats spells its name, just in case anyone out there is already Googling wanting more information, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Just provide that clarification and how you out there at Carith Retreats spell Carith.
We spell it K-E-R-I-T-H. So if you're looking for us on the web, it's www.carithretreats.ca. Mm-hmm. That's how you'll find us. So now, we're Carith Creek. We're in Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the story is one of the pastors in Manitoba came several years ago to Carith Creek, went back to their church in Manitoba, stood up in the pulpit, and someone that was listening to him preach that day asked him out for coffee. And they had coffee together, and the pastor said, "What's happened to you? You sound like a different man." And long story short, that pastor told him about his time in Alberta at Carith Creek, and that parishioner called Focus on the Family Canada, and after some discussions, he donated 66 acres of land, beautiful, pristine land in Manitoba, just about an hour from Winnipeg, and several hundred thousands of dollars to put shovels in the ground, and they've built a beautiful retreat center there. And so that's the effect that Carith Retreats are having in pastors, leaders, and missionary lives. It's changing pastors' lives, and they're going back and with new hope and renewed vision for their churches, and churches are being impacted. So God's doing a great thing with Carith Retreats.
Now, it also is spectacular in that it's right in the beautiful parts of Canada, being, of course, in the Rockies, but then also the prairie, if you will, of Manitoba, and these sorts of rural landscape, just being in nature certainly has that element of just has a lot of power just to restore oneself after, you know, the busyness, and sometimes just being able to get away from the physical church building for a pastor, that's so huge a lot of the time, just to do so much more than recharge their batteries.
Yeah, it really is. One author has written, a change of pace and a change of place often means a change of perspective. And that's what we see, just stepping away from the demands of ministry life. You often don't need a new path. It's sometimes just a new perspective. And we see God doing that in the lives of the guests that we have month after month and year after year.
Now, is a stay at Carith, is it the same for everyone? Or are there longer stays for some, shorter stays for others? How does that look?
A retreat consists of coming in on a Tuesday and leaving the following Tuesday.
Full week.
So everything happens within those 8 days. There's teaching. Mary and I teach in the morning, and then we do private sessions. And what people need to know, or pastors need to know, we have four suites. And so those suites can be taken by a couple, or if the minister is single, then one of those suites would be used by a single. But it's a restricted number, and it allows us to spend time with each of the, whether they're a couple or an individual. Gives us time for three private sessions during that week, where we just get to talk to them about ministry and hear their heart and what's happening in their world, and walk them through a couple analysis that provides some insight into how they're doing.
Just curious, just offhand, are you both pastors or previously held roles in the ministry or anything along those lines?
Yeah, let me tell you a little bit about our ministry journey. Our backgrounds are different. I mean, both church families. Marshall came; his family owned a Chevrolet dealership, and so came from a business background. And my family, I was a preacher's kid. Mm-hmm. We both ended up at Bible school together, graduated, got married, and our first 5 years of ministry was a little town in Western Ontario where we were the youth pastors. And after 5 years there, we got a call to a large multi-staff church in a bigger city in Ontario. And, you know, you think that maybe you're going and you'll spend 5 years or 10 years maybe if God is gracious. But we spent 28 years in that one church, 20 years as the associate, and then stepped up and took over the lead of that church for 8 years. And so we've learned a lot. We've learned, worked with a lot of different pastors, and we've been in different roles. So we've been the youth pastor and the children's pastor and the associate pastor and then the lead pastor. So when guests come in, you know, some of them are just young guys, youth guys, and yet some of them are our age and going into what they think maybe the last decade of ministry. And so we just have the privilege of walking alongside with these pastors and ministering to them. And we don't have a counseling background, but we have 35 years of pastoral ministry. And we know the joys of ministry, but we know the challenges and the hardships of ministry, too. And so God has just gifted us with the privilege of walking alongside these pastors.
Mm-hmm. No, that relatability is just so huge, I'm sure, for those coming in. Just from being able to share from your own experiences of what you have gone through, I guess I should say, in that current tense as well, even, and just knowing the value of a chance to, well, for anyone for that matter, to just lay out what is on their heart and how they are feeling, and just even able to get that off, it provides that just restoring feeling of knowing that, hey, someone's there directly that hears what you are going through and can share. And just even amongst the group of other pastors at Carith as well at the same time, knowing it's the most comforting thing a lot of the time that, hey, these are experiences that I'm not going through alone. And that's often the greatest comfort for anyone for that matter, just to know that what they're going through isn't necessarily, sure, there might be unique points to it, but often There's someone with a very similar story willing to share ideas of how they were able to overcome some of these obstacles that are in front of them. So how do things like, just curious, meals, for example, work out at Careth Retreats? Is that something that everyone takes care of? Is it a shared effort? Is it all done by staff? What does that look like for the pastors when they come?
Well, Marshall and I are on site, as Sam and Pauline are, in Manitoba. So we're the directors. We do the teaching and the coaching, private sessions. But we have a host couple, that they're volunteers, but they're on site as well, and they do all the food prep and serve wonderful meals and do all the cleanup. And so that's one of the things, actually, that's a really integral part of Careth Retreats. You come in and you're served. You're taken care of. You don't have to worry about any of those things. We just finished a retreat last night, and so it's just fresh in our minds about what God does in this environment. And you'd think, wow, it would probably be in the private sessions, those deeply spiritual moments where you just see God move. And yet time and time again, we've seen pastors' wives sit down at a table that's beautifully decorated and a lovely meal served, and tears will just run down their face. And it happened again this retreat, and I said to one of the gals, tell me about that. What were the tears about? And she said, you know, in ministry, you spend all of your time caring for other people, making sure people feel cared for and loved and valued. And she said, I didn't even realize how empty I was until I sat down at a table where someone had taken time and attention to detail and then served me a lovely meal and then cleaned up after it. She said it met a need that I didn't even know I had. So we highly value our volunteer staff. We are a team with them, and we're so grateful. We have hosts that fly in from Ontario on their own dollar. They pay for that ticket to get here, and then they serve for a week. And they do it because they know as they pour in, God's going to use those pastors to make a difference as they stand up on Sunday to a bigger, and their influence is broader and wider. And so we're really grateful.
Oh, wow. That's incredibly powerful that people can come from all over just to even donate their time and their talents just to being able to help out at Careth Retreats. That's amazing. And obviously, too, from what you were talking about, how this is for not just pastor, but pastor's spouse as well. Obviously, very intentional, just because it definitely is, more than, let's just say, the pastor that does so much for a congregation a lot of the time. Whether it's unintentional or just something that they're willing to take on as the pastor's spouse, is to be even part of that leadership team, if you will, of a particular of a church. They need that restoring as well, just as much as the pastor does.
That's one of the beautiful things that we find in Careth Retreats, because often when pastors go away to conferences, it's just them, and their wives aren't there. Their wives are home taking care of the kids, or they're working. But this retreat has been set up that if you are married, you need to come with your spouse. And there's something so beautiful about that, because wives, for the first time, are sitting in this really relaxed atmosphere with their husbands. They're hearing the same things. They're praying together. God is speaking to them. And it's a gift that a church can give to a pastor and his wife, that a conference isn't going to fill that same need. The other thing that we're hearing is, because it runs for a whole week, the timing, guests will continue to stay. It gives them time to process together, and so that's extremely valuable, because pastors' wives often feel like they have to take one for the team. And this just is so disarming for them, in that it's quiet, it's restorative, and God does something sweet, and we get front row seats to see what God's doing, not only in the lives of pastors, but in the lives of their wives, that so often feel like they don't know where to go to. Who do they talk to? And this gives them a beautiful environment for that.
Joining us, Marshall and Mary Izinga, Careth Creek co-directors in Alberta, with focus on the family's Careth Retreats, a place to step away from the demands of ministry life. If you want more information, Kerith retreats.ca. That again, Kerith retreats.ca. www.cbcmanitoba.ca. Now, if a congregation member or someone on a, you know, a church council is listening, an elder board or anything along those lines, they're thinking of this might be something we'd like to maybe present as a gift for our church pastor. When they start to work together within their own church, maybe to put some funds together, it won't necessarily be up to that church board to pick the time, pick the dates, or anything like that. After they present this as a gift, that can all be left for the pastor to really assume what works best on their behalf. That sort of booking won't necessarily need to be made. That can still all be done by the pastor and what fits into their schedule, correct?
Oh, totally. Because in terms of retreats, we only do one a month.
Okay.
And there's nothing in December. So all they have to do, a pastor would just go on and take a look. And on the retreat site, you would see from now right through to about next September, both for Careth Creek and Careth Pines, the weeks of the retreats. And so people look at it, and people are already booking into 2019, but we still have some openings this fall. And what can take place is a church may say to a pastor, hey, we really want to send you, or people in the congregation have done that for people, for other pastors. And then the pastor just either phones, or you can register right online and begin that process. And if somebody wanted to phone, it's 1-800-550-5655. That can also be a number you could call if they wanted more information themselves. And so there's different ways to find out about when the retreats are happening and how to register.
Now, I'm just curious as well. You've put together some stats, I guess, of just how the pressures of being in the ministry in terms of even pastoring a church. Someone might think, oh, my pastor's got a handle on this. Never have they complained or complained about anything going on within the congregation, but I'm sure the stats show a different tale that, hey, even every pastor at some point likely deals with not necessarily frustration, but the risk of just even something like burnout taking place. It's probably a lot more likely than people think.
So there's stats that have come, and some of these come from Focus US.
Okay.
Research that they did. But the stats are that 50% of pastors would quit if they could. They could find another job. 70% of those who were surveyed said they have a lower self-esteem now than before they entered the ministry. 80% say that pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families. 52% of the pastors surveyed said they can't meet the unrealistic expectations of their church. 35%, and this number is likely growing, the pastors say they battle depression or fear or inadequacy. And here's a sad one. Only 10% of pastors will retire as a pastor because they feel that they're overworked and overstressed.
Heartbreaking, truly is, just when it comes down to that these are our leaders that sometimes we put up on a pedestal, and sometimes we forget that they are just as much needed of that counsel, that support, that listening ear so much of the time. We think they're there for us to be our ear to everything, but how often we forget to return that as a favor to them when they're going through a difficult time.
It's a challenging call on your life, and you know, Careth Retreats, that's our heart, is to step in and minister to pastors, because often, whether it's a pastor or it's a pastor's spouse, they're saying, who do we talk to about this? You don't know who's safe, and sometimes you just feel selfish, and yet these are deep needs as pastors and spouses, missionaries, parachurch leaders are walking through. And so for us to be able to come alongside and just be a listening ear and to know, to walk through some of those things and be able to pray and maybe offer some perspective that in the midst of their situation, they haven't been able to see themselves.
Oh, most definitely. Now, from the stories from people that have been able to experience Kareth, can we talk a bit about them, just the kind of turnaround? Obviously, it's not going to happen necessarily instantaneously, but something like this does certainly go a long way. Potentially the repeat visitor that can come back or at least realize that, hey, this is something I got to take back to my church and let them know I need to be able to have some time to retreat, recharge, if you will. What are some of the stories out of those that have come through Kareth and what it's meant to them?
We just, as I said, we just finished a retreat last night, Jordan. So I have a few of the evaluations, and we asked them the question, how would you describe your week at Kareth? Now, we have permission to share one of these, a few of them, actually, and this one's from one of the wives. This week at Kareth has been life-changing for me. I arrived tired, weary, and feeling a loss of direction, not only in ministry, but in my personal life as well. This time is granting me perspective and a feeling of refreshment to return home and face the challenges of ministry and home life renewed. I learn more about who God made me to be, and I feel now that I've been given the tools to start living in light of that information. I felt cared for physically, emotionally, spiritually, in a way that has been lacking in my life for so long. Thank you for this important and much needed ministry. I'm going home completely different.
Another one of our guests said, it was an incredible week of healing, teaching, and rest. We are walking away with new hope and vision. We are feeling better equipped to face the challenges of ministry.
That's awesome. Just again, some of the testimonials coming out of Kareth retreats, and particularly here, Marshall and Murray Zinga from Kareth Creek, that is in Alberta, but also another one in Manitoba, that is Kareth Pines. And for more information, karethretreats.ca. For more information, including dates, costs, and everything else in relation to this. And once again, it is a partnership alongside Focus on the Family. So just curious, are these sorts of retreat centers, have they popped up in the States as well?
Well, there are other retreat centers in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And Focus will endorse. Focus US, they endorse retreat centers in the States.
Okay.
But Focus US does not have retreat centers like Focus Canada does.
Hmm.
At the ministry at Focus at Kareth Retreats, it actually was, they modeled it after Sunscape out of Colorado. And they were just seeing what God was doing in the lives of guests that came. And so when Focus Canada started looking for models to, as they were thinking about Kareth Retreats, what could we do for pastors and missionaries? It was built on Sunscape model, which has been very successful over many, many years. And so that's Marshall and I. We actually visited Sunscape this year, and it's interesting and so rewarding to know that both Canada and the States are doing whatever they can to meet those needs.
That's great. Now, I also understand, I know this was done in the past, was that Focus on the Family Canada's donors helped cover a good part of the cost of a pastor and his spouse coming out to this. I know there's still amount left over that is still required to be paid for, and whether that's the congregation or the pastoral couple themselves. Is that still going on, where part of this cost is absorbed by Focus on the Family's donors?
That is totally correct, Jordan.
Oh, that's awesome.
This week is valued at $4,000. And a ministry couple pays $1,500, and a single ministry person costs them $1,050. And the difference between the $1,500, we'll use that number, and the $4,000, $2,500, is made, that, yeah, it really, it's a gift from a donor somewhere in Western Canada. And what's amazing is when we just did a retreat, was that $10,000 was given to make that retreat possible for the four couples we just had this past week.
Wow. That's awesome. And also, I just want to throw it out there, too, that if people are loving what they hear about this ministry and what it does, you alluded to that host couple that provided the A lot of the stuff around the home, like the cooking and the prep around a lot of the things tied to the week. Is that something that people are able to sign up for, or do you reach out and find those people on your end? How does that all work in that process?
There's been a couple of ways. In years past, it's really been by word of mouth. So someone will know someone and know that they have, you know, a gift of hospitality and service, and then they have the time in their schedule to come alongside a Carrots Retreat. So that's been the way it is. Now, Marshall and I have moved from Ontario, to Alberta, and so we didn't have that same volunteer base, hadn't had a home church yet. And so we've had to kind of recruit a little bit a different ways. But God's been so faithful in providing couples that are coming along to help. We actually have an information night at Carrots Creek coming up on October the 3rd. But if there were couples listening today and they were thinking, you know, I feel like I have that gift of hospitality and I'd love to come alongside a Christian worker that maybe just needed a bit of a reprieve or catch their breath for a week, you could contact CaritasRetreats.ca and ask that question. And they would certainly forward that information to Marshall and I in Calgary or Sam and Pauline in just outside Winnipeg. And we'd be happy to follow up with that question.
Okay, wonderful. Again, you can visit caritasretreats.ca as well for more information from what we've talked about today. That's keritasretreats.ca. Great to have this information out there, especially as people start pondering if there's something that they can do, particularly with Clergy Appreciation Month right around the corner. And again, our guests have been Marshall and Marie Izinga, Carruth Creek co-directors in Alberta. All the best, and thank you again for joining us on the program today on All You Ever Wanted to Know.
It's been great. Thanks so much, Jordan. Really appreciate the time. Love our pastors. Whatever we can do to come alongside.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Rock.
Hey, no problem. It's All You Ever Wanted to Know on The Rock 98.5. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed. All right. Thank you so much again.
Jordan, that was great, man. Thank you.
All right. Have a super week and chat again soon, I'm sure, in the future.
Okay, yeah, Jordan. Thanks,
God
Jordan.
Bless you.
All right. God bless. Bye.